Hello listeners, it's Stephen Davis here. I hope you enjoyed The Secret History of Antarctica, Death on the Ice. If you haven't finished all 6 episodes yet, go back and listen to them now. In the meantime, I wanted to share a clip from another podcast I thought you'd enjoy. It's called Oceans, Life Underwater, from Crowd Network and Greenpeace. It's an immersive podcast all about the oceans and the mind-blowing life within them. It's feel-good cinema for curious, nature-loving ears. Wildlife filmmaker Hannah Stitfall meets submarine pilots, free divers, and whale experts, learning about our oceans and why they're so important. There are episodes about octopuses, sharks, maritime law, the Galapagos Islands, and of course, Antarctica. I'm going to play you a clip now from episode 1. To listen to the rest of the episode and the whole series, search for Oceans, Life Underwater in your favourite podcast app. Here it is. Enjoy.
Let's take a typical dive. Let's not go too far. Let's go to like the coast of Cornwall. We take a boat out into the middle of the ocean, the Atlantic. It's a beautiful day. Sea is not too wavy, but there's a little bit of wave. You take this big yellow buoy in which you have a dive line. And you drop the line to however deep you want to go, let's say 50 meters. So you got a straight dive line, so you know exactly, like, I won't wander too far from there. You click onto the dive line with a lanyard. And then I just like to lay on the surface of the ocean and kind of literally get on the sea's wavelength. Because, you know, like, you can feel the waves, like, they kind of rock through your body. And if you let that happen, you instantly fall into the rhythm of the sea. And then you take a nice big breath. You turn around and you face that line and you face the depths of the sea, that blue. And you take a moment and then you just start swimming down gently, slowly. And the deeper you go, the smaller your lungs get. And at a certain point, your lungs are so small that you're no longer buoyant. So then comes the best bit. You can just stop swimming. And you just start falling into that blue. And you can just completely surrender. Like, everything you have, you don't have to do anything anymore except for equalize. So everything you are is just in that little ball of air in your mouth that you use to equalize your ear. And the rest of you just dissolves into the water. Like, you slowly merge with something as powerful as an ocean. It's flying. And you're surrounded by nothing but blue, green, these weird sounds of the ocean. Like, you can't really hear the surface anymore, but the ocean is full of sound because sound travels further underwater. So there's little clings, and sometimes you can hear dolphins in the distance, and sometimes you can hear boats miles away. But the overwhelming sensation, especially at depth, is one of your heartbeat. You can hear it go every 3 seconds or so. And there's just a calmness. All other thoughts are gone. And then you come back up and you have, like, after a successful dive, the rest of your day is good. Because, like, you had one good dive, you had that moment of being at one with the sea. That means that's a good day.
This is Oceans, Life Underwater, a new podcast all about the oceans and the mind-blowing life within them. I'm Hannah Stitfall. I'm a zoologist, wildlife filmmaker and broadcaster, and I'm on a mission to learn everything I can about the big blue.
The ocean is just mind-blowingly huge. Did you know that more than 70%, 7/10 of the Earth's surface is covered in seawater?
You could drop all of Mount Everest into the ocean and still you'd have an enormous amount of water above it.
Over the next 12 episodes, I'll be talking to marine biologists, free divers, submarine pilots, explorers, ship captains, scientists, and policymakers. hearing the most incredible stories about our seas and the people who are devoting their lives to protecting them.
You know, almost half of our planet is a vast ocean beyond national borders, and I believe that we have a collective responsibility to protect it.
The ocean is important to Māori because without it, we cannot thrive.
Oranges, yellows, reds, just incredible layers of life. I mean, every square centimeter covered.
If you've ever been in the richness of, like, the presence of a whale and her calf, you know inherently you want to preserve that.
Protecting the ocean is not rocket science. We know how to do it. We just have to do it.
This is Oceans, Life Underwater, Episode 1. It's early 2024 and I'm sitting in a studio in Devon with Dan Verhoeven. Now, Dan's a freediver and a filmmaker. He's the official cameraman of the Vertical Blue competition in the Bahamas, which, if you've watched The Deepest Breath on Netflix, you'll have heard of. It's the world's deepest blue hole at 203 metres, which is pretty incredible. Now, Dan's been freediving now for over 20 years, and he lives in Cornwall with his wife, who is also the UK's free diving champion. So it gives me great pleasure to welcome on Dan. Hello, Dan.
Hi, how Anna. Are you today?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Very well. Now, look, I love the oceans, but freediving is something that... it slightly terrifies me, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
How would you persuade anybody that's sceptical about it to maybe give it a try?
Well, like, obviously I understand the fear because, like, you can go without food for weeks, unpleasant weeks, but you can. You can go for without water for a couple of days, but without breathing, people... that makes people anxious. That makes people a little bit short of breath almost instantly. I think I did a similar thing to what most people had. Like, in the beginning, I remember being petrified of water as a kid. Like, we had to take swimming classes and I was petrified. It was so much water. It was so scary. It was so overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And the way I got over that is my stepfather took me on his back with, like, little floaties on my arms, and he pushed off the wall, and you could feel that rush of water. And whenever I wanted to, I could just let go of him and pop back up to the surface. But then I got that first sensation of being able to fly. Like, underwater, it's as close as you can get to flying for most people. And I loved that sensation. So that fear almost instantly turned into a passion. Water and being underwater was always about playing. It was always about being free. Like, you become an aquatic. You're no longer terrestrial. You're no longer breathing. So it becomes about being with water. Like, mm-hmm. I've been doing it 20 years. I know people who've been doing it 40 years. And it brings immense wealth to their lives. And, like, it became part of my identity. It became who I am in a way. Because, you know, I don't just go in the water and dive a little. Like, I also adjusted my diet. I stopped smoking. You know, I started going out more to freediving competitions. Like, it brought me out of what was essentially kind of a depressing life.
Mm. And I guess, you know, when you're going to such great depths, there has to be a big sense of calm around it. You have to be in control, and I guess lower your anxiety levels, because imagine if you're diving down and then you start panicking. So I guess there's a kind of a sort of meditation with it as well.
Yeah, I often say that freediving is kind of like the opposite of a normal extreme sport. Like, most extreme sports are about adrenaline and how high can you pump up your heart rate, and you have to make 6 million decisions in 1 second. Whereas with freediving, you want everything to slow down as much as you can, because you want to make your oxygen last as long as you can. And so your heart rate, just by putting your face in the water, your heart rate drops by 20 or 25%. And as soon as you go deeper, the deeper you go, the lower your heartbeat gets. So instead of going to, like, 180 or something, or like extreme sports, like 2 something until your heart explodes, no, it goes down and down and down, and until like 20 beats a second, 15 maybe. And you can actually notice that. Like if your heart slows down, your thoughts tend to slow down, and your whole pace slows down. Everything becomes languid, liquid, slow. Everything becomes fluid. And it's a really nice state to be in, especially if you can do it for a couple of minutes. My wife can hold her breath for 7 minutes. Not many.
7 minutes?
7 minutes, yeah. I can do it 6:45 and she's still giggling that.
That, no, that she's drives much better, you.
No, I love it. I love seeing her perform well. And she's a much better freediver than I am. But the sensation she gets, like you don't need to do the whole your breath for 7 minutes to have those interesting sensations. Like if you just lay down and hold your breath, it can be very pleasant for like a minute or 2 minutes. You know, you don't have to swim 200, 300 meters underwater to know what it's like and to feel that sensation of like, what is this? Is this like flying, you know? You don't have to dive to 60, 70 meters even. Like I've had really pleasant dives to 5 or 10 meters and just being there and just hanging around. You know, it doesn't need to be extreme. But yeah, in its competitive form, yeah. But that's competition, isn't it?